Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight we're continuing our conversation in the Cafe booklet with Codependent No More. Tonight's a really good section. We're going to be talking about the basics of self-care. And I was sharing with Amy right before we got on that, boy, so some of the stuff is just, yeah, we could talk a whole show on any of these topics. And Amy was great to remind me that, you know, this is really just giving you a taste of, you know, just what this book really has to offer. And again, we're doing Codependent No More by Melody Beatty. And we're looking at 30 years and when she went ahead and created the book, and we're reviewing from the 25th anniversary book. So, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm feeling pretty detached. Not from you.
Oh.
But from the agony that might happen in this call.
Well, that's a good segue. Considering our first chapter we're going to be talking about is detachment. Very, very nice segue.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, you are so good at that. Oh, my gosh. I'm so dependent on you just doing that for me. Thank you so much.
Okay.
The rest of everybody's just like, okay, enough of that. My goodness. So I want to go back for just a second, and we had a really wonderful exercise. We're doing the workbook as well as the original Codependent No More. And really want to encourage people, you know, because lots of times people just say, oh, you know, I'll read the book, but I don't want to do the workbook. Boy, the workbook is really worth the time and to go ahead and have it, because it's coming from a different voice from Melody, because she really wrote it maybe about 5-6 years ago. So it's really coming from a new, a deeper place of understanding about codependency, working with the steps. And really something that she wanted to create, that it was something you could go back to over and over again to be able to just kind of give yourself a fresh perspective of where am I am now with being able to go through this levels of, you know, how I'm changing and recognizing things that I don't want to have as a part of, you know, who I am, be it behaviors and things like that. So the exercise that we had talked about last show, which was show TC332, was about, you know, being able to work from affirmations that you would do a daily, at least once, if not twice a day. And Amy, did you continue to do that, or have you kind of moved on to the other workbook exercises?
Well, for me, I did, you know, last time lesson one, and this time lesson two. And it's going to end up that we're going to finish, you know, and not have gone through the entire workbook, which I think, you know, like you said, to start this. This is a lot of material. So it's, mm-hmm. I think you have to be careful and you just think, all right, what is it that I can do this week, and not get yourself too overwhelmed, because, and then we'll go over that as we come back to the workbook, but it does not mirror the book. And I think it's a great study by itself. I would almost recommend at this point, I think, well, let's can doing a, you know, a lesson each time. But what I'm getting is do the book and then do the workbook.
Okay. We just want to give everybody a taste of both of them, so we know what we're looking at. So,
it's really, really involved, and in order to do the work, and know that you can go back to this anytime. Like tonight, we're going to be going over chapters 5-9 and just kind of cursory through the workbook lesson 2. And this is, you know, this is work that we're all going to be doing the rest of our lives, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, and being able to, and again, once again, you know, getting somebody, you know, if not one person, get a small group all together who are willing to do the work together. And, boy, mm-hmm. it's just so nice to have people sharing, having just feedback, and having it to where, you know, and two more gathered, you definitely can have, you know, just this epiphanies that can happen when people are able to just be open to having a different perspective. I think that's one thing that's really wonderful on it. So chapter 5 is about detachment. It says detachment is not detaching from the person whom we care about, but it's the agony of the involvement. And boy, we start getting into that when it comes to, you know, codependency and what that can look like. So, because that's one thing that Melody talks about, you know, she said she could have really started anywhere, but the fact that this was the first chapter of this section, which is all about coming from the basics of self-care, that we're really looking from because of the underlining concepts that we need to do this something that's doing frequently to basically really come from a level of striving to live a happy life. So it's this daily check-in with ourselves, if not even moment to moment, of where am I now and how do I want to be with myself and how I may be either reacting or responding to other people. And we're going to be talking about that with some of the other chapters that we're going to be covering tonight. So anything with the highlights on detachment, Amy, you want to make sure that we cover?
Yeah, on page 56, right under there's a list of attachment can take many forms. Again, knowing you can go look at that. But there's a sentence about midway in that second paragraph. Says over-involvement of any sort can keep us in a state of chaos. It can keep the people around us in a state of chaos. So it's just kind of looking, mm-hmm. what am I over-involved in?
Yeah, and she talks about that being that worry and an over-worry, over-obsessing about, you know, either a person or what they're doing. You know, and, you know, part of most of the examples that are being covered in the book is really having to do with alcoholism. But, you know, we talked about that last show and then the introduction show that we had done. Like, you know, codependency could be, you know, you've got an ill person that you're taking care of and you get caught up in the over-involvement of what that can be, because it really can affect you on just a level when you're not taking time out for yourself to make sure that, you know, you're getting breaks and taking care of ourselves. It can be just numerous different ways that we can get involved with that. So one of the things that, too, that I thought was interesting is she did a quote from Wayne Dyer that said, if you believe that feeling bad or worried long enough will change a fact, then you're residing on another planet with a different reality system. And that was from Wayne Dyer with the Erroneous Zones. And it was really talking about coming from that level of letting go of, you know, worrying about others. And really the only thing that we can really know is that, you know, the only person we can truly take care of is ourselves. So it's, you know, learning to become detached from other people and forfeiting the power and our ability to think that, you know, we're going to be making that much of a control difference from a person when actually the only one that we can control and take care of is ourselves. So anything else with that, Amy?
Yeah, on page 61, he talks about detachment involves present moment living in the
mm-hmm.
here. And I think that,
yeah,
you know, we've heard that over and over and over again in almost everything that we've done, haven't we?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if you go back to pretty much a numerous amount of shows that we've talked about, you know, be it in being in the present moment and involving, you know, being able to accept what is now. You know, we did a show a few weeks ago about accepting what is, you know, when we had the election. And really just, you know, looking at that, she says it requires a faith in ourselves, in God, and other people, and in the natural order of destiny of the world, and to believe in the rightness and the appropriateness of each moment. It helps us to release our burdens and cares and gives ourselves the freedom to enjoy life inspired of unresolved problems. And I think that's really true, because if we can come from just being in this moment right now and coming from gratitude and what's around me and what's, you know, and letting go of what isn't, you know, a lot of that to me is the expectations of things, you know, we can trust that all is well in spite of conflict. And that's really something that the self-care and then working with, you know, letting go of codependency can really help to give us that just a sense of new freedom. So.
Well, and then we start moving into, and what I'd recommend probably now that we're getting into this is to find some people that are really committed to this and do a chapter a week and then move into a lesson a week with a workbook. We're not going to take that much time, but if you really want to do this, I think that would be really, really helpful. And you could do it by Skype.
Yeah, I think
I
think that would be a really good rhythm for people, because it gives you a little time to read and process and be able to have time to see how that really is, you know, an aspect of life. Because it gives you a few days to be able to sit with it and just what's going on with everything. So an important aspect, too, is Melody says, detaching does not mean that you don't care. It means that you learn to love and care and be involved without going crazy and creating all kinds of chaoses. Like, you know, Amy had said, you know, when we're chaotic, the people around us get it chaotic as well. I think those are really, really important things to know that. So anything else with detachment, Amy?
Yeah, just they talk about there's this process, and know that there's a whole lot more to it than what we're talking about, and that it will unfold as you work through these chapters. But I'd like to call it a three-part formula. HOW is the acronym. Honesty, openness, and willingness to try.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really beautiful. And again, and they talk about on page 63, how do you know when to detach? And there's a whole paragraph here, but it talks about how when you can't stop thinking about it and worrying about it, and how are they and what are they doing, and your emotions are driving you insane. And I love this. A good rule of thumb, you need to detach most when it seems the least likely or possible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people think, oh, I'll wait till the perfect time. Well, it probably ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. That's right. Let me do that right now.
Yes.
Let me do that in the now moment. Yeah.
Right now, that's when I'm out of here. And, you know, that's when you're in such crisis. And if you are addicted to drama and chaos, that has got to sound really frightening to you. So if that is you and you are frightened, it's okay. We're going to take baby steps. But we're going to be working towards really doing the detachment of those things that will literally kill you, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. They will kill you. And we've seen plenty of people go through that. So on page 64, questions, we're not going to go through them, but there's activities for you. They said that's why I think a chapter a week would be really lovely. So moving on to chapter 6, don't be blown away by every wind. And they really start moving into not being reactionary. And I believe, you and I have had this conversation before. I know for me that my job as a leader is the more insane again. Of course, I'm leading myself, if nobody else. And I've been having an interesting conversation about leadership. And for me, my focus is leading from wherever you are and start with leading yourself. So when things are the most crazy, that's when I need to take the time to get calm. Until I'm calm, I am not going to take an action. I am not going to make a decision. I am going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing to talk about, because I know that there's definitely a switch in thinking when you have gone through just looking at this and just saying, do I do things, because one of the things they say is, are you thinking about what you're going to say to somebody instead of just listening to what they are saying to you? It's that reactionary thing instead of just being able to be a good listener or being open to what somebody has to say and then sitting with that for a second before you would respond. Or do you automatically feel like you have to have something right on the other side of your lips that you're going to be able to say? So it's that pushing a conversation instead of allowing it to just be, this hopefully lovely flow between, two people. And I think that's a really good thing to be able to take a look at that. So on page 67, she's got a really good list of different things that you might react to. So I think that's really good. All of these, have little things depending on how you've grown up and where you are with your family and things like that could be these little ahas for yourself on just the awarenesses. I know coming through this book and looking at it again, new things about, how I interacted with my family and school and all different kinds of stuff have been coming up for me. So, do we react because we're anxious or afraid of what has happened, might happen, or is going to be happening? And many of us react as though everything is a crisis because we have lived with so many cries for so long that crisis reactions have been a habit. And because we think that things shouldn't be happening the way that they are. So a lot of this is getting that whole thing about expectations. And, if you've been a peacemaker along with being somebody who's, codependent, you definitely are trying to help to buffer situations depending on what's going on with the family. And if there's been, just any kind of abuse happening in a family, you're basically trying to be able to coax that into being something that's not going to ignite into a storm, depending on what you've got going on. So it's that whole thing about, let me react instead of responding to somebody who's going to be, reacting, acting to me that's inappropriate or might have can hurt somebody, So I think
and
that's
actions,
part of the things to think about.
Yeah, and actions and words never go away. And you may say, I was angry, or you hurt me or whatever, but the bottom line is you can never take those things back.
Yeah. One thing I love about Melody is as we're going through all these different chapters, she really takes the time to be able to, say what it is, say what it isn't, and then being able to give suggestions and that you can help yourself to detach from people or destructive reactions and things like that. On page 70, there's a wonderful outline of a few different things that you can do that she really goes into. Actually, there's four different things. So the first one is to learn to recognize when you're reacting. Like Amy said, let me catch myself in the heat of something and, you know, wait until I can be quiet and being able to respond instead of just coming from like a knee-jerk kind of a thing. So, you know, and then that, number two, go ahead, Aim.
Is make yourself comfortable. Do whatever you need to do that is not self or other destructive to help yourself relax. And we want you to be thinking about that. And then the rest of the chapters will be what are some things that do make you comfortable that are self-care, from a real self-care, not from an addictive perspective.
Yeah, and I love on that one. She says, do something safe that will help you restore your own balance. I think that's a wonderful way to be able to have that. Number three is examining what happened. You know, if it's a minor incident, are you able to sort through it yourself? Or if it's serious and upsetting to you, can you discuss it with a friend or maybe a professional that helps you to get a different perspective on it to say, you know, is this, you know, something that I, you know, I really need to do more self-care or, you know, get a different perspective with this. So I think that's a really good thing to be able to pause and say, you know, how serious is this? And, you know, because if you've been dealing with it for a long time, we're definitely going to want to buffer it and make it not as serious as it could be, just because it's something that's been our experience for quite some time.
And then the fourth one here, figure out what you need to do and to take care of yourself. Make your decisions based on reality and make them from a peaceful state. And I don't think we can say that enough times, is learn how to really get yourself calm before you make those decisions. And the activities there on page 72 are really about spend some time looking at how are you reacting to someone or something in your environment, and maybe practice those steps that we just outlined.
So number seven is set yourself free. And I love the quote, it's like, you know, let go and let God. So there's that whole thing of with the codependence about being controlling. I control the situation because I don't know what somebody's going to do. And it really kind of comes from, you know, the last chapter and being from this thing about, you know, in being able to control something just because it's so out of control. I want to have a sense of being where I can have some sense of safety. So, you know, and being able to be somebody who's looking at control from just a different way, you know, in name of love or what, however you're wanting to frame that, you know, being able to let go of fooling yourself with something and being able to be real in the moment of what it really is. Go ahead, Amy.
Well, and with codependency, she talks about how, you know, that whole trying to control everything and trying to make everything perfect, and you know, now it's about, gee, what kind of time, money, and energy would we have if we weren't trying to control everything and everybody? What a concept. And so this is where we start moving into looking at, okay, what are those things that I can let go of and that really aren't mine to do? And then here
go ahead, Amy.
On page 80, they talks about, is there an event or person in your life that you're trying to control? And so really start looking at that and then kind of expanding that. And even what ways are you being controlling? So I think there's a lot of ways that we control others that we don't realize are that are really being controlling. So this is going to really give you some space to really be with that and to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, she says you don't have to stop caring or loving. And you don't have to tolerate abuse. You don't have to abandon constructive problem-solving methods such as professional intervention. You only need to put on your emotions and mental, spiritual, and physical hand back in your own pockets and leave things to people alone. Let them be. Make any decisions you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, but you don't have them to control. But you don't have to make them to control other people, so start taking care of yourself. I think that's a really great sentence.
Yeah, and I think this whole take care of yourself is kind of like, what in the heck are they talking about? So
yeah, what do I do?
it's going to be a step-by-step process, and you're going to have at least one buddy. I recommend you have a couple, because if you only have one, they're going to go down, and you've got to have more than one person that you can reach out to. So let's move on to chapter 8. And this was really significant for me in a lot of ways. Again, this quote was, we're so careful to see that no one gets hurt, no one, that is, but ourselves. And I know for me, I'm always the champion for everybody else. You can do whatever you want to me, but not on my watch with other people. And so really looking at, okay, how do I allow that people do that to me and make myself just as important as the other people that I love and support?
Yes, Melody talks about, you know, what is the one thing that codependents do over and over again? She was talking to her friend one day, and she said, you know, what is it that keeps us feeling so bad? And, you know, her friend thought about it, and he said, well, you know, codependents are caretakers, they're rescuers, they rescue, and then they persecute the person, and it winds up being a victimization. And there's a whole theory of this called the Karpman drama triangle. And it goes into these accompanying roles for the rescuer, the persecutor, and the victimhood, you know, for somebody in victim, that it just gets into this pattern. And I think a lot of the patterning that people experience is coming from a very parental place. When, you know, how did my mom and dad treat me? How did my grandparents treat me? And I think that's something that's been moved on from generation to generation. So it's really interesting. Because she talks about even enabling, and she says it's a therapeutic jargon that means a destructive form of helping. And I was like, wow, that's a really good sentence. When you think about enabling somebody.
And I think we have to be careful here, because here at the beginning of the chapter, she talks about codependents are caregivers, rescuers. They rescue, and then they persecute, and they end up victimized. I don't want to tie caregiver and rescue together. They do not have to be synonymous terms. And I think when she's saying that, she's meaning when they do it in a codependent way, and that they can't. There's no separation between the caregiver and the person that's being cared for. So our goal here is to become interdependent with people and situations in our lives, not codependent. So I don't want to tie caregiver and rescuer together. In a healthy situation, that is not true.
Yeah, because, you know, when we're talking about victims, we're talking about people who believe that they're not capable of being responsible for themselves. So that's one of the things about caretaking. You know, when you've got somebody who is really looking to you for everything that they have going on, you know, depending on their physical and emotional needs, when it's something that they can be doing things for themselves, it's definitely, you know, looking at the parameters of what your situation might be. And again, we know any of these things, if there's any kind of question, you know, we really encourage people to go and get professional counseling on something like that if they're not real sure what that would be. So, but 84 does a really good job. She lists a whole bunch of different things that you can review to take a look at that. And just a couple of them are doing something we really don't want to do, saying yes when we mean no. And I think as a caretaker, I mean, as somebody who is a codependent, you know, a lot of people are guilty of saying yes because we want to be liked and accepted and being able to have people like us. So we'll say that just because, you know, we think that's what they want us to say, that kind of thing. Meeting people's needs without being asked before we've even agreed to do something. Doing more than our fair share of work after our help has been requested. Again, it's you know, these whole things for having people like us and having you know, going beyond what, you know, really is required on something like that. You know, being like a super person on something like that. So we rescue whenever we take care of another, and then we feel awkward or uncomfortable or even angry about it when we get done. Because a part of that is that feeling that, you know, we're overexerting, overgiving. When we're doing the overgiving, that's differently something that would be considered codependent.
And on page 93, and it really brings us home, it says, caring about people and giving are good, desirable qualities, something we need to do. But many codependents have misinterpreted the suggestions to give until it hurts. We continue giving long after it hurts, usually until we're doubled over in pain. It's good to give away, but you don't have to give it all away. It's okay to keep some for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good on the review for that. And then the activities are really good in here when it really encourages you to become familiar with the Karpman triangle and, you know, going through that process with yourself and maybe even with just, you know, significant others that you have in your life and saying, you know, how do I interact with that? Is that really something that's even a dynamic in some of the relationships that I have? I think that's a really good thing to be able to review that and ask that for yourself. So anything else, Amy, with this chapter?
Just something that's happening or has happened to me. Last night I was having a nightmare, and it was going over a particular relationship where I was so trying to break them out of their shell and get them to get the help they needed, that it was just gut-wrenching. And this was from many years ago. And I just found it interesting. I spent the whole night in that awful, awful place. And it just reinforced for me that I don't want to be rescued and I don't want to rescue others. And the bottom line is I have to do it for myself, and everybody else has to do it for themselves.
Hmm. Oh, gosh, thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Yeah, it's so interesting what our dreams and sometimes the subconscious will bring those things up for us to be able to, you know, take it, to be able to look at that. And, gosh, the fact that it took, you know, you were with it along, you know, quite the evening. That's interesting that, you know, as you're trying to sleep, that was something that you were sorting out.
Well, I kept trying to wake myself up because it was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And there was a couple times I did wake myself up, and then I would go back to sleep and go right back to it. So I really don't want to, you know, on this side of it, I really don't want to be in that space ever again.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So, and then our last chapter tonight is chapter 9, undependence. And I was like, I'd never even heard this term before. I said, what is it about me, she asked, do I need a dead body laying in my bed in order to feel good about myself? And I was like, wow. And that was from Alice, be a codependent who had been married to two alcoholics. So that really gives you a sense of that. She says, I'm not being happy living with this person, but I don't think I can live without them or him or her. I cannot for some reason find it within myself to face the loneliness of every human being must face or continue to run from. That is being ultimately and solely responsible for taking care of myself. So it's really, this chapter is really looking at, you know, the ways that we abandon ourselves, thinking that, you know, we have to be there for this other person and not really, and, you know, doing the love and self-care for ourselves to really giving us, you know, having us have the life that we really want and deserve, and just for being ourselves.
Well, and even deeper than that, that if I am not caring of somebody else, I'm not loved. So it
Right. There's a really good thing of breaking that down about, you know, where did that come from and how did that be? You know, the needing people so much yet believing we are unlovable, that people will never be there for us, can become a deeply ingrained belief. She says sometimes we think people are there for us when they really are. Our need may block our vision, preventing us from seeing the love that is there for us. And she really goes back to, you know, some of this really can start from when you're a child and you have this idea in your head that this person should be, you know, loving you or there for you in a certain way, and they just weren't. So it was our perspective on what they should or shouldn't be doing, and it was an expectation. And it can really taint the way that we look at our relationships, between, you know, depending on who that person is in our lives. And it really, you know, causes us to be looking for love in all the wrong places.
When I really, from page 105 through the end of this chapter, like you just talked about on the beginning of 105, is it finish business from our childhood as best we can, grieve, get some perspective. And I've always felt that inner wounded child is what causes us so much grief. Yeah, I believe you've done John Bradshaw's work in the inner child, and I have too. And I think that's really important work. And that's what he's really talking about in two, nurture and cherish that frightened, vulnerable, needy child inside. And making sure that need, because, you know, you start doing these crazy, crazy behaviors, it's because it's not really you. It's that part of you that has not been healed. Number three, stop looking for happiness in others. And that's what they're really talking about, is if your happiness is a contingent about what other people think or feel about you, you're in trouble, because there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like you and doesn't like what you do. And so, you know, if you're choosing to look for those people who don't like you, you're going to be unhappy all the time. Number four, you can learn to depend on yourself, and you can depend, and five, depend on God too. And last but not least, strive for undependence. Begin examining the ways we are dependent emotionally, financially, on people around us. And then at the end of the chapter here on 110 and 111, it does a fabulous job of breaking down the characteristics of real love and addictive love. And that would be some time really good spent. And how about with bring us home, because we're right at the end here, Robin, lesson two in the workbook, anything significant for you in that?
With the workbook, it was really inviting you to go back and look at them. One thing I liked was with looking at the first three steps and doing, they call it the Trinity, where, you know, you're admitting you're powerless, and then, you know, there was a power greater than you, and then you made a decision to turn your will and life over to the care of God, and having it be something that you could look at in the way that you process your stuff. I thought that was a really powerful exercise with that. So how about you, Anne?
Yeah, and I want people to be, you know, don't get too caught up in, you know, in this, because this can be some heavy stuff. So that's one reason I want you to maybe take it a little bit slower with the workbook, because chapter or lesson two in the workbook you could spend, you know, weeks on. So do what you can with it and then have support and keep moving.
Yeah, it can even be an exercise that, you know, you look at it for like maybe a week, and it could be a journaling thing that you could, every day you could journal a little bit about it and just kind of see what comes up day by day, instead of having it be something that you need to have all the answers for in that moment. Because it's, you know, we didn't receive it all in a moment. There's no way we're going to release it all in a moment. But I think it helps us to be able to just embrace it for where am I now with this, in this, you know, in this moment, this now moment that I have. So next week we're going to be talking, I'm really excited, it's going to be the ways to support ourselves. And ones like, you know, having a love affair with yourself, the art of acceptance. There's going to be some really great, we're moving into all these ways that, you know, once I know some of the patterns and behaviors that codependence shows itself, that all these really wonderful ways that we can move into just self-love and self-care and really transform a lot of these things that that are out there for ourselves. So anything else you're doing?
Yeah, that's chapters 10 through 14. And if you're doing the workbook, we're going to be doing lesson 3. And if you don't have it, that's okay too, but it's something I think you should get in the future.
Yeah, something you can gift yourself just for, you know, I'm going to give myself that book. I know I'm going to be giving it to a couple of friends because we've been talking about that. So it's always interesting to be doing the show, and no matter what we're doing in the book, how it kind of comes up as we're going through our week and into seeing how, you know, different things come up. I've had a couple of people that have talked about wanting to get into STEP and self-care programs, and being able to share this with people has just been really wonderful. I want to thank all our international audience, too, on just all your comments and questions and interactions that we're having. It's wonderful. And if you go to the transformation-cafe.com, it gives you a great opportunity to be able to, you know, go ahead and give some comments, things like that. And it's never too late to go ahead and pick up the book. Like I said, you know, you can always start back with the our first couple shows. I said one thing nice about having this as a podcast, it's always great to just go back at your leisure and be able to work through just the different comments and stuff that we have. And you can go ahead and go to our store and be able to pick up the book and the workbook. So we thank you for that as well. So we go ahead and see you guys next week. And again, that's going to be chapters 10 through 14. So thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay. We'll see you next time here at the cafe. I know. Excellent work. Excellent work.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.